Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Welcome to the White House Plumbers Podcast. We're the Lorehounds, your guides to administration breaking scandals. I'm David.
And I'm John, and this is our coverage of the HBO original series, White House Plumbers. Is it HBO anymore, David, or is it Max?
It's Max, baby. It's all Max.
Oh, boy.
Pour one out for HBO. I know they're still there as a tab, but, you know, to be the brand.
Devoted to a tab.
That's right. In this podcast, we're going to give our quick takes on this new limited series before discussing what we felt were our key moments and then discussing in-depth several of the major plot points for episode 4, The Writer's Wife. Be sure to stick around to the end of the podcast for some programming notes about our remaining May podcasting schedule.
Here's some quick housekeeping for early and ad-free episodes and exclusive content. Visit patreon.com/thelorehounds. We're coming up on our 1-year anniversary. We're doing a really fun drive to get to 100 subscribers by the end of July because our anniversary is in July. I know we're doing a sticker that's going to be an exclusive 1-year memorabilia sticker that you've designed, David, with the help of some Tolkien scholars.
Yes.
And I'm excited to show everybody that. I think that's going to be really cool. And we have some other new benefits that we're going to be talking about at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, and we're going to start advertising some more stuff in June, too. We've got some things lined up, and we'll start talking about those in June, and then we'll flip some switches in July and hopefully make people a little bit happy. That said, if Patreon is not your thing, but you still want to give us a little leg up or show us some love, the best way to do that is a rating and review. Just scroll down to the bottom of Apple Podcasts, assuming you're listening to that. Click the stars. That's all you need to do. If you have a spare moment longer, throw in a couple of words. It doesn't even have to be a fully formed sentence. We read all the reviews. They mean a lot to us personally. They give us those little boosts, but they actually help other people find the podcast and let people know about what this podcast is like and what they can expect. So we really appreciate those. And if you can take a moment, that would be great.
That's right. We reward loyalty here at the Lorehounds Podcast. Here's another quick reminder for this limited series. We're doing a short form recap. So to make these podcasts a little more fun, we're asking for your help to break down the episode. So send us thoughts, comments, and questions.
Yeah, send us emails to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or head over to our website. And there's a voicemail feature there. You click a button, you can leave us a voicemail, or there's a contact form. You can just write something in there quick and send them. And then we will be able to incorporate those into the next episode. Next week is the final episode of this series. So if you've got some overall takes on the series, we'd love to have those to include in our sort of recap for the series, for the season, I guess. Is it a season if it's a one-off? I don't know. Anyway,
it's everything, you know. It can it's be everything. The season. It can be the series. It's,
right.
It's yeah.
So yeah,
it's
an send hour us in
of time a week that we've been doing.
Yeah. Give us your thumbs up, your thumbs down, your mess, your what did you like, what you didn't. I mean, there's been some great acting in this. If you anything else, there is that some cool history. We've got Brian 8063 who's been sending us in some very very cool updates on. Actual historical stuff because he works in this presidential records thing. So
yeah.
Anyway, we would love to get folks' thoughts on the end of the series.
Well,
yes,
David.
Yes.
I think it's time to discuss our general thoughts on this episode. What'd you think?
This was a bit of a downer episode, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, obviously the ending was a bit of a shocker. I didn't know the history of that.
Me so either. I had to look it up after.
Right.
I was like, I have to know if she lives.
Right. I was furiously, you know, looking up as well. You know, airline travel used to be not safe. No. So, you know, you say what you want about the government. At least we've got some good airline safety regulation stuff. So.
Or do you believe the conspiracy theory that the FBI was involved in the crash?
Well, I mean, I guess if you believe that Hunt was involved in, assassinating a U.S. a United States president. So
I know.
Get your tinfoil hats out and start theorizing.
We'll be here all night.
It's not that kind of podcast. I did think that the acting, Woody Harrelson's acting, I mean, he was just eating the scenery in this. The stakes got very serious.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see the whole, like, I'd be curious to know how much money was actually paid to the Hunts and then, you know, how much
it seemed like a lot.
That seemed like a lot of money. It was, I don't know. Yeah. It was history. It was insight and it was kind of a downer.
It was kind of a downer, and yet I think I laughed more in this episode than in any other episodes this season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, first of all, Lena Headey.
Yeah.
Absolutely killing it in every single scene she's in.
I think she's the unsung hero. Yeah, I think she's the unsung hero. Sorry to interrupt you. I think she's the unsung hero of this series.
Yeah, because the first three episodes, I mean, she was good at what she was doing, but they didn't give her a lot.
No.
And, you know, she was just playing sort of a quiet housewife. And there was clearly something below the surface, but she wasn't able to act on that because it was below the surface. And now we had her in full force, like, no, I'm taking control of the situation because obviously my husband is a dipshit.
Right.
And he's going to land our family in dire straits here. That was really great to see. I think she stole the show this episode. When the crash happened at the end, I was devastated. You know, this person has been dead for 40 years. You know, it's a little too late for me as a person who didn't know her to mourn her.
Right.
But I'm mourning the character on the show because I don't get to see Lena Headey's performance anymore. I think she's the star of the show. I think she is absolutely the best performance on the show in a show where the performances are the highlight.
Right.
So that made me sad, honestly. It was like, oh, no, we're not going to get any more of this, like, Dorothy being a boss thing.
Right, right. Yeah, the one competent voice is
right.
She provided us a sense of stability in this crazy mix, and so whenever she got involved in something, I would be like, oh God, thank God, there's somebody with a head on their shoulders, looking the right direction, and
with a Headey on their shoulder.
With a Headey on their shoulder. Miss her in stuff. I want to see more of her.
I think she'll be back. I think she needed a break after Game of Thrones, you know?
Yeah.
Because that was a big role for her. And I'm glad that she's getting work. I wish she were in a better written show, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see where she's at next. Overall, I would say, though, yes, I laughed more in this episode than I did in any other episode. Had a lot of great quips, had a lot of great, you know, set pieces, like, you know, him standing over his son's bed and just being like, can I trust you? You know, so many good, like, one-liners, you know, Liddy just being insane, like, blowing out the candle when he was about to do the fire. I mean, like I said, like, a ton of really great chuckles. And the candle was
very conspicuous. I was like, is he going to do it? Because every shot that they would cut to, the candle was right there. And
right.
So they really played that up. So,
right. Yeah. So yeah, I like this episode. My favorite episode of the show so far.
I hope that
episode 5 is even better.
Yeah, well, I guess we know how it ends. No mystery there.
I think pretty much everyone knows where these people go.
It's the journey. It's the journey that we're on here. So
right. All right. Do you have a favorite laugh out loud moment?
I was really struggling. I didn't know if it was shredding the money or the continued pancake gag. I got to go with pancakes because that's my love language too. I'm the weekend breakfast cook in our house.
All right.
And I love to, you know, cook it up pancakes, waffles, getting my sausage, egg, you know, whatever we've got going on. That's my jam. So to see when Hunt was stressed out,
you could have been friends with him in prison.
Yes. I liked the recurrence of the gag and it was just a signal to how whacked out he was. But seeing Liddy tossing cash on that industrial shredder, that was kind of cool too.
And everybody's just like, why are you doing that? He was actually right though. The cash is how they ended up tracking these people down in the end in real life.
Right.
So I think he was right about that. You know, as much as Liddy is this insane caricature of a person, he is also kind of intelligent.
Right. He's also not wrong.
Right.
Just because his methodology or his demeanor is whacked, his instincts aren't necessarily wrong either when it comes to, you know, spycraft, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Black bag.
Yeah.
Black ops.
But yeah, black bag, black ops. Which one is it? Black sheep? I don't know.
Yeah.
Mine was, it's the little things. And then he tosses the key in and his son goes, we didn't wipe that down. I love pointing out how he's messing up in the moment. It's like I said, just a ton of like little chuckles I had this time that made me crack up. I'm so sad to see Lena Headey go. I think that Woody Harrelson and, Justin Theroux are doing a great job carrying the main characters. So let's hope they bring it home in that finale. And why don't we get into the major storylines?
Let's go.
All right. Number one, the immediate aftermath. A panicked Hunt tells his son that he's a spy and that he needs help destroying evidence, leading them to dump Hunt's equipment in the river. The FBI comes to speak with Hunt, but he pretends not to be home. Upon returning from France, Dorothy is shocked by what happened and tries to figure out next steps. Liddy is unfazed by what happened, but shreds the money to avoid a connection to the arrested team members. Liddy resigns from Creep, and Hunt is fired. A lot of panic here. Right away, we jump right in.
I don't know how I would react if I had Woody Harrelson leaning over my bed in the dark of, you know, and screaming at me if I can be trusted. I would, as a son, I would be pretty freaked out by this.
Yeah.
And this confession that, you know, he was actually a spy and all of this stuff happened. And then I love later when the son was like, what about that one teacher? What happened there? Starting to put together all of the pieces of all of the things and going, wait a minute, did you have him whacked? Did you have him killed? Right. So
what made me laugh about this whole setup was it was the best thing that happened to their relationship in years. It brought them closer together than they had been in years.
Which is
insane to think about. Something else I was thinking about in this is I was kind of surprised that his son didn't know he was a spy already. Mm-hmm. He and Dorothy seem to talk pretty openly about the Bay of Pigs.
Right.
I don't know how they didn't put this together.
Self-absorbed teenagers? I don't know.
Maybe.
Not to make that as a negative comment, but just, you know,
maybe
they're involved in what they're involved in. So
right.
I have no idea what Hunt is gonna do now, whether, you know, he was headed for singledom, either through a divorce or through untimely death. Yeah. And how is he going to manage as a father?
He won't.
With three kids.
Those kids are going to be neglected. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, talk about trauma. You lose your mother and then you have a dad who's, you know, headed towards prison. Yeah.
Maybe how Fran will adopt everybody. She's got experience with the whole gaggle of children.
Boy.
Gaggle is an underused word, isn't it?
Gaggle?
Gaggle. You know, a gaggle of children.
Yeah. No, I don't think we have a gaggle of children. Yeah.
Well.
Sounds weird.
Yeah.
They're not geese.
Now I'm gonna gaggle. Now I'm gonna Google gaggle of Google it gaggle. Is geese.
Yeah, it's geese.
It's geese?
Mm-hmm.
This whole time? I'm leaving this in.
Okay.
Well, I actually looked up gaggle of children, and I have the Longman Dictionary of Contemporary English online says a gaggle of tourists or children is a noisy group of people.
Well, there you go.
There we go. So maybe Fran will adopt this gaggle of children to add it to her own gaggle.
Hunt's kids are much more noisy than I think Liddy's children. I think Liddy has a much tighter control. Children are seen and not heard kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, can I add one back on my LOL moment?
Yes.
LOL moment?
Of course.
The eggs hitting the window.
Yeah. Get down.
Yeah, it was like, back, back, back. I was like, what's going on? And then I saw the egg yolks, and yeah, I had a good chuckle at that.
Yeah, yeah. Other things in this scene, the whole hiding in his bunker, I'm really surprised the FBI didn't just come in. It seems like they didn't have a lot of rules back then.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised they didn't just come in.
Right.
And I'm surprised that none of his children opened the door at all.
Right. Or answered the phone or went out or anything like that. So, yeah.
Like, I know he instructed them, but they really listened.
Yeah.
And nobody did anything accidentally.
Right. Yeah.
And then his apron, of course.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Ready to move on to pledging loyalty?
Let's do it.
With the Cubans and McCord arrested and identified, Hunt hires a lawyer. Against Dorothy's insistence, he refuses to name names in exchange for a plea bargain. Mr. Rivers calls to talk to the writer's wife and agrees to pay the Hunts for their continued loyalty. The Liddies were going to be left with nothing, but Howard insists that they should secretly split their share. Dorothy then helps distribute the money from the Nixon team to Hunt, Liddy, and the defendants. Eventually, the money runs dry. Hunt considers writing a book about the Watergate scandal, which leads to a confrontation and falling out with Liddy.
So what I was a little confused by in this was with Liddy, why they weren't going to pay him anything. That doesn't seem very strategically smart. I mean, yeah, he was a jerk and you know, he was bad-mouthing folks and playing, you know, being real rough around the whole thing. But why would you want a loose cannon around like that? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Or were they banking on the fact that Liddy's outsized sense of loyalty to the president was going to keep his mouth shut?
I think you have a lot there, and I think it's all pretty much right. I think he was extremely loyal, and they were like, well, we have to pay off Hunt because he's got a wife who actually knows what's going on. And he's maybe a little more financially unstable. And Liddy is saying, tell me what corner to stand on and I'll get shot. And they're like, yeah, all right, we don't have to worry about that guy. He'll take a vow of poverty. He doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah, I think that and also I think they're kind of pissed at him. Like, he's the one who planned this op. He's the one who pushed for it. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the counsel of Creep. So he's much more linked. He's much more senior, I think, in Creep than Hunt was. So
yeah,
paying him off seems more suspicious. I think there's a bunch of reasons. I think it's sort of a multi-layered issue there.
I'm curious too to know how much and for how long, because it seems like they burned through that cash pretty quick. But if you're maintaining that, I mean, they're paying out everybody from Hunt's share. But even so, what their lifestyle must have been, they were just burning cash. Why don't you got to trim down.
Sounds like there were private schools.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a mortgage,
country club memberships. Yeah. Right. Horses.
Well, he wasn't paying for the country club membership.
No. Eventually
we found out.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a lot of cash.
It was a lot of cash. Maybe Brian 8063 will write in next week with the amount of cash they got.
That would be an interesting factoid to know for sure.
Brian did write in with information on Mr. Rivers, but we'll save that for the feedback section.
All right. Sounds good.
Other things I wanted to touch on in this section. Did you recognize the lawyer for Hunt?
Not off the top of my head.
Did you see the Santa Claus back in the day?
No, it's not. Yeah.
Well, for those in the know, in the listenership, this was Bernard the Head Elf from the Santa Claus. He was also in The Plot Against America, if you saw that.
No, he I didn't see that one.
Oh, see, and you're the guy who's really into that team that is very famous.
Simon Pelicanos.
Yes.
Yeah. David Simon and George Pelicanos. Yeah, that's one that escaped my notice. That and Tremé. Okay. Which have been on my sort of list. If we ever got around to doing any sort of retrospective stuff on that, those would be certainly in the hopper to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought that that was fun to see him. And I think that this whole idea of her like taking planes and everything, like she is implicating herself pretty heavily in this conspiracy now. You know, she's helping with the payoff.
Yep.
I mean, even getting a divorce, she's not out of this by any means. I don't know if she had fully thought that through, and maybe this was a very emotionally driven decision because she was trying to protect her children when they're being implicated by her husband. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that she was by any means out of the woods with this if she had lived.
No, yeah. And yeah, the whole family, the son, Dorothy, yeah.
Do you think that Liddy and Hunt will make up?
That's a good question. Historically, I don't know because I didn't ever know much about Hunt. I mean, I knew about Liddy in a general and wide context, but I would have to say that Hunt is probably pretty torn up and pretty upset. So you could put a lot of this on Liddy's doorstep. And so it'll, and Hunt doesn't seem like a very forgiving type, especially after Liddy outed him at the dinner table with the whole, you know, book and stewardess scheme.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That's kind of breaking the bro code right there.
Well, I mean, don't cheat on your wife if you don't want your wife to find out, but that's how I feel about that. But,
right.
I mean, we do learn later, and I guess we can get to that in a minute, but, you know, we do learn later that both of the Hunts have had their share of fun outside the home.
Right. It's true.
All right. Let's get to that that section. I have this section labeled Dorothy's Decision. Hunt uses information he has to blackmail the Nixon campaign into paying him money again. On a last ride with their horses before the sale, Dorothy's son tells her that Howard had him destroy evidence. Hunt drops Dorothy off at the airport to fly to Chicago and distribute more of the money. She tells him that when she comes back, she's taking the kids and getting a divorce. She reveals that she knows about the evidence destruction and tells Howard it's over. On the plane, she discusses the Watergate scandal with a reporter. In the middle of the conversation, the plane crashes. That was a shocking moment for me.
Shocking and brutal and upsetting and a real twist, like a real shocker of a twist in this whole story. That what are the odds kind of thing. So yeah, definitely opens it up for tinfoil hat conspiracy theory type stuff.
Yeah, I did look up. She did have $10,000 in $100 bills with her on the plane in real life. So that that was real. She had the money with her. And that's why people were like, something feels wrong about this. You know, there was something going on, but she could have just been doing her own criminal thing with Howard and then happened to be in a plane crash. And like you said, it happens. I was reading up on the plane crash. It sounds like the pilots got distracted during landing, which is crazy. That's crazy to me that that happened.
Yeah.
But again, if you believe that it wasn't an accident, then that's a different story.
The statistics, because plane crashes, bad plane crashes were quite regular back in the day. So, it was not an uncommon thing. I will say, though, that I never want Lena Headey to be mad at me. Because when she was pissed, when she found out about how Hunt used their son to help him destroy evidence, she was furious. And I would not want to be on the receiving end of that fury.
No, me either. She did a great performance, though, in that scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could feel that rage.
Yeah, totally.
And I love the brutal honesty, too. You know, what was I supposed to do? You know, you're sleeping your way through South America. Am I just supposed to sit back at home and fly an American flag? That was pretty good.
Knit American flags?
That's what it was. Yeah. That was super good.
Good.
She's right? I mean, you know, it's two wrongs don't make a right, but she does have license to be selfish if her husband's being selfish.
Right.
Well, I don't have any other thoughts on this episode other than I'm looking forward to the end of the series. It's been okay. I think we might be less hot on this show than a lot of people based on our Discord. I think people are enjoying it, so I'm glad they are. I think maybe dissecting it like this might be the wrong way to consume it, and maybe that's why we're enjoying it a little less.
I was thinking about that. Somebody in our Discord, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Danny. Said that, he might be enjoying it more. And then I said, yeah. And I reflected on that very thought. I'm thinking, if I wasn't podcasting about this, would I enjoy the show? Would I continue to watch it? Would I be engaged? And I think I probably would. And it would be a casual pickup watch. It wouldn't necessarily be strong appointment television for me. It'd be something that I would work on over time. And eventually finish it and enjoy it, as a show to podcast about, it doesn't leave us a lot of space to speculate theorize,
because we know what happens.
Yeah, we do know it's and it is, it's hewing pretty closely.
Yeah.
So if they had if they'd completely fictionalized it or something, then that would be a different story.
Yeah.
But there's only so much we can talk about the acting and the production design and all that kind of stuff, which is excellent. Everything about this is excellent in that regard. So, yeah.
And we do have it has a disadvantage of going right up against Ted Lasso and Barry and Succession and all these prestige shows that are really wrapping up nicely.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I think it might have done better if it was in a season of its own. You know, if nothing else was really on right now, I think we would have been hotter on the show. So, I will probably rewatch this at some point, maybe. That's a hopeful thing. And, and maybe like it a little better.
It's interesting, as a general commentary, I was listening to some conversation about the writer strike and part of the analysis of how television has changed. And to have Woody Harrelson, who's primarily a movie star, do a television show, they were saying that one of the things is that there is... Because it's not
TV, it's Max.
Right. Yes. it would be hard in the past for a movie star to come onto a television show when you're doing 20 plus episodes in a season, where you could drop in for a one-off, then it's about you being there for a one-off, as opposed to being a central, character in a show. But if you're doing 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever, then you can do it. It's very conceivable. Especially if the shooting schedule matches up and allows you to engage. And they're longer than feature length, but TV production is very efficient compared to cinematic production. So you can bang these things out. And so that's one of the things is big stars call in, higher salaries. So, and that's causing a lot more cost to television production, which I don't buy that as an excuse for not paying the writers a reasonable salary. But the point being is it's very interesting to see big name stars coming on to these types of products and doing these limited things. And it's great because his performance is phenomenal. It's been, I have, like I've said many times on this podcast, I do not recognize Woody Harrelson in this. He is really playing his character. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's welcome some feedback. We have a feedback section every podcast. We can receive feedback at lorehounds@thelorehounds.com if you want to do it by email, or you can head to our website, thelorehounds.com. There will be a contact form there. There's a voicemail form there. And we have both today from Brian 8063. He's a lore master, our highest tier of Patreon, and he's been writing in pretty much every week for White House Plumbers. He is a presidential scholar, I think it is, right? What's his actual title, David?
I don't know his actual title. He just works in...
He just knows he's a lot professional. Of stuff.
Yeah. He's a professional.
He knows a lot of stuff about this.
He works in a place where they manage the presidential records of the Nixon administration. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Brian has been very generous in sharing his knowledge throughout the season.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that, Brian. Let's start with Brian's contact form entry, and then we'll move on to his voicemail. Hi, David and John. I wanted to share with you some more historical background. Who was this mysterious Mr. Rivers? His real name was Tony Ulasewicz, maybe. A former NYPD policeman. He was with the FBI and then worked with Jack Caulfield in the White House Investigation Unit, a unit that dug up dirt for Nixon's enemies and rivals like Ted Kennedy. This episode's timeline is compressed here, and one thing that was only mentioned a couple of times was the FBI's role in investigating the break-in. J. Edgar Hoover died on May 2, 1972. Patrick Gray was named director, and Mark Felt, a.k.a. Deep Throat, was angry that he was passed over. What was a great way to undermine Gray? Leak information. That was why he met Bob Woodward in the parking garage.
Interesting.
By the way, when Hunt got a call from Bob Woodward, I swear Woodward sounded a lot like Robert Redford.
I did too, yeah.
For those who don't know, Redford played Woodward in the movie All the President's Men. Thanks, Brian 8063.
It did very much sound like Redford to me as well.
I could not pick out Robert Redford's voice for anything. Because okay. I haven't seen most of his movies, but I believe
fair,
you.
Fair enough. Yes.
I believe you.
Fair enough.
That's super interesting about Mr. Yeah. Rivers, huh?
Yeah. And about some of the motivations for Deep Throat and why that was being done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You see that, you know, they all talk about loyalty and all these people talk about loyalty, but in the end, really, it's their egos and it's their cutthroat nature that make them turn on each other and sort of bring down the whole house of cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's real bare knuckle politics stuff too. It's a lot of brutality. It's a lot of, you know, salute the flag, but yeah, there's no belief in the values of the flag other than power and money and
right because there's always a reason to depart, right? Oh well, we believe in we're doing all this stuff so that we can get to a place where we're being ethical. It's right. It's never going to happen. Not how you though, do right? It. There's always going to be a next it. Time.
It does shed some interesting light on our current political situation, and I don't want to get specific, but just in terms of what the Nixon administration did to alter our perceptions of government, right,
the conversation almost. Like the conversation about government is
right,
very
exactly.
different because of Nixon.
Exactly. And not only Nixon, it was interesting to see that historical footage in the episode of Nixon out on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
That sort of made it a little bit more real for me. And then thinking about all these people who were trying to do all this stuff to gain power, to gain influence, to get on the inside. And like you say, to try to get someplace where this imagined better place, where the country should be. It's going off the rails. We've got to get it over here. It did. I think the show has given me an interesting perspective on our modern politics for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to Brian's voicemail.
Hello, David and John. First, I want to share with you my mindset on the show's tone. Both of you mentioned that in the last two or three podcasts. And I think it's really important. Before watching the first episode, I thought it was pure drama at first. Then I read it was from the creators of Veep, so I was confused. So when I started the show, I didn't know what to expect. Now, after a few episodes, I see it more as a fusion of comedy and drama, and I think that's helpful. For episode 4, here are my specific thoughts. The acting has been consistently good on this series. However, this episode is the weakest one for me. The movie All the President's Men had a pace of a thriller to it. Even the show Gaslit had great acting and interesting characters. We also saw more of John Dean in that show as well. The movie and the show tied things back to the White House more effectively. And I think this gives it more urgency, a certain weight to the whole narrative. I don't dispute that you can have a show without Nixon. That's fine. But the show does not have an urgency or political crisis to it that I think is important to pull you along through the episodes. Thanks again for doing the show and signing off. Brian, 8063.
Yeah. So, Brian, I totally agree with you that the tone is off. It's just not hitting that vibe that we need it to hit. I think it's very focused intentionally on the personal stakes of the Hunts and the Liddies. You know, these family implications, these reputational implications, financial implications on these two families. And I guess the question is, are those stakes enough? Are those stakes enough to carry a show about such a big scandal?
Right. And I think something that's missing for me, too, is there a moral quandary here, or is there some illumination on the human condition, if we want to put it in that way, in those sort of grandiose terms? As I was listening to Brian's voicemail, I was almost thinking, this is a strange sort of version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern point of view. I don't know if you've ever seen Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead, which is a very funny, fun movie. But right, two very important characters in Hamlet, and there's a whole side story to them that's been told and retold in various sort of spin-off things. And so if we want to look at Hunt and Liddy as these, you know, characters in that regard, just out of the limelight, just off to the center of power, and they're trying to struggle with something and move towards something and resolve something, we don't see it in their characters. So there's no, as entertainment, as a beginning, middle, and end story,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel, like Brian said, I really agree with his comments, that where's a sense of urgency, or where's there a sense of, this is an issue or a topic that we're grappling with and we're trying to examine it from multiple angles. For as much as this is a fictionalized documentary, fine, but it's not telling us any, you know, is it serving as a piece of information? Yeah,
right.
It's serving, I'm learning stuff that I didn't know before, but am I being entertained? And I don't want to be crass when I say that. At the same time, if you want to capture me and motivate me and engage me, then I need some extra moral dimension, some other commentary about society or politics. And yeah, I'm just not getting that. I'm just getting a slightly humorous version of the historical facts. If they had done it like a Veep episode and blown it up and sort of 2x'd or 4x'd the humor in this,
yeah.
And then just said, hey, this is based on, it's not a true story, but it's just sort of based on a true story. Let's be silly with it. Then maybe that would have been fun too, because it would have been a hilarious slapstick comedy or something. But yeah, it's missing a center, some sort of center of gravity for me.
Right. I think you're right. I think you've put your finger on it. Is they were, I think, a little scared to go too far off the historical path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that prevented them from going full cartoonish with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't want to just do the history, because their brand is to do a little bit more cartoonish. So they weren't quite hitting the drama right. So now they're kind of half doing both. Right.
And fulfilling neither.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough complaining for one night. Why don't we thank our patrons?
That's analysis. It's analysis. It's not complaining.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yes, to our patrons, thank you all so very much to Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H., Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., Nick W., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Lavinia T., Duve 71, the aforementioned Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Eric F., Matthew M., Sarah M., DJ Miwa. Thank you all so much for sticking with us. It means a lot to us to have your continued support and to the support of all of our patrons. And hopefully as we move forward and we, you know, gather more of our community together,
build up.
That's right. We've got some good shows coming down the pipe, looking into summer and towards the end of the year. We got Wheel of Time.
I know it's coming.
It's finally here.
I messaged you about it yesterday and you were like, holy.
Yes, about fell out my chair. Anyway, for those of you who are Patreon supporters, for our 1 year birthday, we're going to be sending you a very special handcrafted thank you sticker as a gift. Everyone who signs up and is a member at the end of July is going to get one of these. And we're trying to use it as a little incentive. Yeah, we're dangling out a little bit of a carrot to try to engage some folks to see if we can break this 100. This is sort of our next critical, what do you call those, milestone, tipping point things.
Okay.
We're feeling that if we can get to 100 or past 100, that'll sort of move us into another realm. It also would help to have some other big tentpole shows, which we definitely have coming down the pipe. So
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, anyway, that'll be a thank you gift. We've got two or three other benefits that we're going to be announcing starting in June and sort of trying to build up to those in July. So if you have been on the fence and thinking about joining or not, we'd really love to have you. And yeah, we'll talk more about the benefits as we get closer to July. And we were working on a special podcast for July as well. We've got a couple of cool birthday surprise offerings. So,
yeah. Very cool, David. I think it's time to talk about programming notes.
Yes.
We've got not too much left in May, but no. We've got plenty left in June. So
yes.
Stick around for programming notes as we get into that month. But for the rest of May, we've got Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse prep coming out this weekend. I've already edited it. It sounds great. I'm really excited for people to hear it.
Yeah, we had a good conversation.
Yeah, that's Jean and Alicia.
Yeah, and you have to see the first movie. It's
I gotta
it's
watch
phenomenal.
It. I gotta
yeah,
watch
it's
it.
So good. It's so good.
I'm a spider stan, so I gotta watch it. Alicia, by the way, has her own podcast on our network called Wool Shift Dust. It's a silo podcast. You can find that in the show notes of this podcast. Please go check it out. She just got a new microphone, so her mic is sounding stellar. And that podcast has a lot of great content. It's got a lot of nerdy breakdowns of this mystery box show on Apple TV. It has hooked me. I think it's getting praise all around, and rightfully so.
High quality, good mystery, political, science fiction, dystopia. It's everything you want in a show.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hit that subscribe button over there, because we are probably going to be on that show at some point this season. So keep posted on that and give Alicia a listen. The rest of May, we've got more Barry, more White House Plumbers, more Ted Lasso, and we have a Silmarillion Stories episode with Aaron from Lord of the Rings coming out next week. So stay tuned for that.
That dude knows his Tolkien, man.
He does. He impressed me.
That was amazing. I felt like a child sitting at his feet, you know?
I know.
I was like, and it was kind of a weird chapter too. It was a lot of historical setup-y stuff. And so I am actually really glad that he came on that one, because I think he helped illuminate that chapter for me in a way that, because of his depth of knowledge, that, you know, if it had just been you and I, it might've been a little bit more of a struggle. So yeah, and he's a really cool guy too. I'm really glad that we connected with him.
The light of the trees was in his eyes.
Yes, he was reflecting the light of the trees from his face.
All right. Very cool, David. I think that's time to call it a night, and I will see you next week.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Never mind the music, wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a 5-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.